Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey back in San Diego soil. Jay Posner, San Diego Union Tribune sports editor. I'm talking like Ted Leitner.
Kevin, what a rare day this is. Actually sitting across the table from you instead of doing this on the phone. Little face-to-face podcast here as we get within 1 week of the All-Star break and the Dodgers are in town.
Dodgers in town for four and the Cubs in town for three. This is the Dodgers' last visit to Petco Park.
It's so weird.
That's bizarre. But of course, that has to do with just there's a whole bunch of weird scheduling. But of course, the Padres also gave away three home games. We don't need to get back into that. Jay, this is not the kind of teams that you want to get well against, the Dodgers and the Cubs. The Padres are the type of team that other teams get well against.
Well, the Cubs, as it happens, the Cubs and the Dodgers rank 1-2 in the National League in run differential. Padres' run differential took a little bit of a hit on Saturday in Phoenix.
They got one of those back.
They did. Minus 15 in one game is a little tough to take. That I did not see a lot of that game, but that must have been quite a sight for you in Arizona.
Oh,
on
my
Saturday.
Goodness. The entirety of that game. And then, and this is not a complaint, I want to make that clear. I love this. This is awesome. But you're then back at the ballpark, right?
Right.
At like 9:30 the next morning. For a game that starts at 1 and ends at 6:30,
right.
A 5.5-hour, 16-inning game. A lot of baseball this weekend, bonus baseball. Look, none of it really matters, right, Jay?
It's true. And you did make your flight last night, so that's very, very important in terms of that. But anyway, the Dodgers, despite a terrible start, 16-26, the Dodgers on May 16th. Since then, they then went 26-9, 6-6 stretch right now. 32-15 over that over their last stretch, and
I knew they were good, Jay. But I've been paying attention to a bad team. Tell me about the Dodgers.
Tell me about the Dodgers. That's the thing. Clayton Kershaw pitching tonight has not been really Clayton Kershaw this year. 2.86 ERA, only 11 starts. Rich Hill's only made 10 starts. That's the thing about the Dodgers. They're number two in the NL in ERA anyway, right behind Arizona, the team the Padres just saw. But I do have one little quiz for you. Who would you say leads the Dodgers in WAR?
Max Muncy.
Right now. You would be wrong.
Okay.
Max Muncy is tied for second.
Is it somebody that I wouldn't think?
It is definitely someone you would not think.
So it's not Matt Kemp.
It's not Matt Kemp.
Is
he's not in the
second?
Top three.
He's not in the top three?
No.
Huh.
The number one
who is it?
WAR guy on the Dodgers is a pitcher who will be pitching here. Ross Stripling.
The bullpen to the rotation,
yes,
to just throw strikes,
right.
Ross Stripling?
Has a 3.0 WAR, tied for second at 2.7, Chris Taylor and Max Muncy.
Chris Taylor. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense.
And the Padres leader in WAR?
You know what? Funny thing is, as much as I really don't give a crap about WAR, and I can give you a lot of reasons for that, I saw it the other day because I was just looking where Derek Hosmer rank. Is it possibly Travis Jankowski?
No, but he is in the top four. This is on Baseball Reference, which is where I went for this. Freddie Galvis at 1.4, just ahead of Kirby Yates, who we both think should be in the All-Star game, 1.3. Mm-hmm. And Will Myers, with 24 starts, is at 1.3. Double Eric Hosmer at 0.6.
Now, let me ask you about WAR, and just to show, again, I'm
not normally a big WAR guy, but
I love the metrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's, in my mind, what they are is they give you context. They do not tell you. So a lot of these, I don't know exactly how they're figured out. I go, oh, okay, I gotcha. One thing I don't know about WAR is the more you play, might it hurt you? Versus like, I mean, how in the heck is Will Myers?
Well, I think it can. I mean, Myers has done, and Myers probably took a jump. If we could go back and look before the last two games, it probably took a jump.
You know what
I'm saying?
Well,
yeah,
I do. You play and you don't produce.
Correct.
More games is going to hurt you.
Correct.
Okay, there
yeah.
we go.
No, it's only given to, it's only on field. I mean, obviously you can't be compiling or losing WAR when you're not on the field.
Again, I'm joking, but eat it, haters. Freddie Galvis. Gotcha. Hey,
so
Freddie is what he is. What did that say to you? Just how bad the Padres are?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it says that there's not a lot of, there are basically no good individual seasons that anybody on the Padres is having. I would say Kirby Yates is having a good individual season. Mm-hmm. it was unfortunate to see what happened Saturday night. He also got an extra earned run because yet another official scorer doesn't know anything about baseball. One in Arizona. And then he screwed up yesterday as well.
He did.
Cost Austin Hedges a hit. Cost Kirby mm-hmm. Yates an earned run. I mean, those are minor things. But again, it just goes to show official scoring. But
yes,
so that's where we stand. The Dodgers are here. The Dodgers are 6-3 against the Padres this season. They were 4-0. The Padres won those couple games in Monterey. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Kershaw and Perdomo tonight. Then we have Rich Hill and Eric Lauer, Kenta Maeda and Joey Lucchesi. And then the aforementioned Ross Stripling against Tyson Ross. And this is another big start for Tyson Ross, don't you think? I mean, the Padres have got to be really concerned right
bigger
now.
Bigger than any of them have been mm-hmm. because the reality is, and I was asking around, you know, is this the case? And this might sound obvious, but what this time of year, every start is huge
right.
if you're a trade candidate. Well, you say, duh, but also like then you, the reason I'm asking about it and the reason I think it's important is you want to look at the entirety of the work. Of course, a guy could just be having a bad period. Well, Tyson Ross's bad period needs to be over.
We're
reaching.
Well, it's
maybe,
like kind of where Brad Hand's bad period, mm-hmm. where now we've gotten a couple
exactly.
decent outings out of Brad Hand. And sure enough, today people are like, oh, Brad Hand has value to the Yankees mm-hmm. and whoever else the rumors
look what
there.
The Padres got for Andrew Cashner because he got hot
right.
in July.
And that's and so they and this is Ross's last start before the All-Star break coming up on mm-hmm. Thursday, which means he won't pitch another game for at least 8 days.
Which might be
play.
Good for him,
it
even though
be.
He says he's fine. It appears that, and I don't know how to throw a slider, so I can't tell you, you know, his velocity is the same, but his slider is not the same.
Right.
So there's something that maybe some rest would do good. And then if he is able to come back and have a start or two, and I believe he'd fit in three starts before the All-Star or before the trade deadline.
I would think three after this week, right?
After this week, right.
Get him,
right. Three after
there.
The All-Star.
So that's three, you know, let's say four more chances for him to get that value back where we thought it might be, let's say, a month ago.
Same with Brad Hand.
Right.
And gosh, everybody. And look, they are anticipating changes after the All-Star break and things room's going to have to be made on the 25-man roster. And so I do think there'll be some things happening, whether they involve trades or not. Gosh, I think that's really up to other teams to some extent.
And what about what you wrote about today in terms of Andy Green and sort of the attitude that he's taken right now toward this team? It sounds like he'd kind of had his fill here of seeing some really bad baseball and is sort of putting some guys on notice.
And in particular, the plate discipline. In particular, the stuff that's been preached and preached and preached. And you know what? Guys like Hunter Renfroe appear to have gotten it, and then boom, it's gone. Manny Margot, he's got it, gone.
You know, and then yesterday, he probably wanted that game to go on forever.
obviously, Manny evidently seen every pitcher he saw. Didn't matter who it was. Mm-hmm. Wherever the guy was coming from, wherever. And look, that's what they, not 5 for 6, obviously, but that's what they think and right. hope Manny can be. And here's what the two things that the story that I wrote about how Andy Green and the coaches have been honest, even forceful, not like threatening, but hey, you know, the stuff we've been talking about, time's running out, man.
Right.
You got to get this and you got to show us. We want you to be a part of the team when it's good because that's how they speak, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what they think is going to happen. But we have some kids that are going to come up. And here's an interesting thing. Fernando Tatis isn't going to come up and hit 400. Luis Urias isn't going to.
Well, we'll just call him a bust then,
yeah,
right?
They need to come up and have some time. So they're going to come up at some point this season, okay? And I think Luis Urias is real soon. And
then do you think we see Tatis in September?
I think we see Tatis in September. I do, okay. Because of this that I'm talking about.
Right.
It's like he needs to get his taste.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, AJ Preller has the quasi-final say in personnel matters. And it's the final say until it gets to a point of, hey, this is what we need to see, okay?
Right.
And so I think that there's a lot of discussions going on right now in the organization. And actually, I should say I know that there are. And I know that Andy is letting his players know it is time to step up or you know, just might not be here. I want you to be here. You might not be.
Are we talking about any other position players that might be coming up after the break? I assume nothing's going to happen this week, most likely.
Right, because then you'd have this time where you have 4 days off, and these kids are going to, if they come up, they're playing.
Right, right.
So outside of Urias, I can't say, though I am curious, Jay, like when people start saying, well, we've got some guys we want to look at, it's not all pitchers.
Right.
So I'm is it all day? It's do you want to see Franmil Reyes again, since he maybe has hit a couple homers? I don't think so. I'm just saying, like, where is this going to go?
Right.
It's not like there's this plethora at AAA. Okay.
No, I'd rather see Renfro get those at bats and Jankowski get those at bats that would normally go to Reyes, because I feel like Margot, especially the way, I mean, what he showed yesterday, he needs to play. They're still their best defensive center fielder, and obviously Will Myers needs to play, so there's just limited spots for those guys. So I'm not sure what bringing up Reyes.
No, I don't think so. I'm just trying to go I haven't heard Reyes at all. Let's make that clear. One thing to consider too, and that the Padres are considering, is, you know, we bash them, fans bash them all the time for players that have left, and you would put the "you gave up on them too early" label.
Right.
Well, they don't want to do that with Hunter Renfro, right?
But, no, he's the guy. He's exactly the kind of guy that it's so easy to see that happening, where he ends up going somewhere else and finally figuring it out. But at the same time, and it's like, I'm glad I don't have to make this decision, because when is enough for someone like that? And I don't know the answer, and I don't think they do either. I mean, at what point do you see a guy and just say, okay, we just have to give up on him? And that's going to be one of those things where I know this is what the second half is going to be about for guys like, for especially guys like Renfro.
And seems it's unfortunate.
Like he's one of the biggest guys, the biggest question marks at this point.
It's unfortunate and fortunate.
Yeah.
That Francisco Cordero was hurt.
True. True.
They have been forced to make the decision, Franchi's a part of our future. If they had Franchi play a little more, would they be more certain about it? Yeah. But then if Franchi were playing, they have more crowded in the outfield.
Right.
What are they going to do? So, but that's exactly, look, it's only increasing what this season has been about. The shorter the season, the greater the urgency for guys like Hunter Renfro to, you know, and to some extent, Austin Hedges. The guy's got to at least not, and you know what? For the last 3 or 4 days, he has been swinging the bat well, actually getting some hits. That's who he has to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Hedges can afford to, you know, be in the, to use like one stat, an OPS plus stat. I don't think he can afford, you can't afford to have him at 50 and be a part of the regular lineup. But if he can get up to, I don't know what the number is, maybe it's 75 or something, just needs to be decent.
Okay, so you've spoken to the metrics crowd, and that's great. And I like the to put the context there. The reality is, can he lay down a bunt when it's called for? Can he get a hit when it's called for? Can he see some more pitches when it's called for? Can he, you know, what can he do? Can he get 15 home runs?
Right.
Because I watch every day and I've become fascinated by Austin Hedges, and I don't think I really even know how valuable he is. So I'm going to tell you that most people don't know the amount of pitches and runs Austin Hedges saves behind the plate.
Right.
So they don't need him to hit 25 home runs. They don't need him to hit 280.
No, but I don't know that they can afford to have him hit 180.
No.
So that's the thing.
I don't know they can afford to have him hit 220.
Oh, I think at that, as long as he's got if he shows a little bit of power and he shows the ability to draw a few walks, I think they can afford to do that. I mean, it's tough to read into. You can't just say, that's why batting average is such a,
it is
kind of a weird number. You can't just throw a batting average out, because you have to throw in how much is he on base and how much power is he showing. But if he's hitting 220 and not walking and not hitting home runs, that's probably not going to do it. But he does have some power. We've seen it before. And obviously Renfro, we've seen his power. And he just seems, I mean, you mentioned, we were talking before we started doing this about a situation where he just seems sometimes completely really uncomfortable with where he is in terms of
plate, I'm going to write about that today. And I think yesterday was a perfect, something happened that was perfect for this story, because we were thinking about running it earlier. The lack of power by the Padres, and clearly Will Myers has demonstrated that some of the downturn in home runs this year is because Will Myers was not on the field, okay? But you know what? Hunter Renfro has played a good portion of this season, has a lot of doubles and not a lot of home runs. Even when he was going well, wasn't hitting homers. he's the poster child for what is happening with some of these guys right now. And it happened with two pitches in his pinch hit at bat yesterday. Oh my gosh, he let two pitches right down the middle of the plate go by. Hunter Renfro's trying to be such a disciplined hitter that he's taken away his power sometimes. Right. Now, those things don't have to be mutually exclusive. They just don't.
Well, no,
but he's confused right
now.
They
can't be.
No, they can't. Right. You have to get your pitch. So Hunter Renfro, though, he's letting more bad pitches go by, but more good pitches go by.
Right. No, I mean, that's the idea of figuring it out.
Yes.
Is you need to be on the pitches that are there for you to hit. And I saw that yesterday with Myers, but it was different. He was swinging at it. There was a mound visit. I think there were two walks leading up to him coming up for an at-bat. This was well before the 16th inning. And the first pitch, he knew it was going to be a fastball. Everyone knew it was going to be a fastball, and he just missed it. And you could just see on his face, and I remember Mark Grant even made a comment on TV, like, you know, that's a pitch Myers can't believe he missed.
Yep.
And you could just tell from looking at him. But you're not going to hit all of them, but at least Myers was swinging at it, and he took a great swing at it. He just happened to miss it.
He
didn't let it go. That's the difference.
And Myers is confident enough of himself, has had success on a sustained level, though not as much as we'd like to see, whatever. The guy believes in himself. He knows, that's my approach.
Right.
That pitch is coming, and I'm going to swing. If I don't hit it, okay, fine. But I know that pitch is coming. And that's what you're seeing with Will Myers now, that you're not with Hunter Renfro. And you know what? Here's what I think about Hunter Renfro. He is either going to get it here, or I think he is like Jed Jerko times five. He's going to go somewhere else and get it. I just do.
And yet, if you look at Jerko, I just saw something recently. You mentioned Jerko. He's been horrible lately.
Yes, yes.
Of course, he hasn't been playing the Padres.
Hunter Renfro will come back here and hit it on top of the Western Meadow building every time.
Right, three straight nights he'll come back in somebody's uniform, probably the Dodgers
or
the
Giants
or something.
You coming out this week?
I will be out this week, probably for three games.
Ooh.
I'm looking forward to probably one Dodgers, two Cubs.
Nice.
Would like to see the Dodgers one more time, but not sure I can swing it. But we'll certainly be watching on television.
Yes.
Love Orsillo.
Love
Grant. Oh. Love everything about them. Great broadcast each night.
Enough said. Oh.
And it should be fun. And between that and the World Cup, it's a big week, Kevin.
But what? Hey, it was really good to see you.
Always good, and we'll see you out at the ballpark, and we'll do this again on Friday.
Before the Cubs.
One more before the All-Star break with the Cubs coming to town.
Right on.